It's Mark and Pete.
Hello and welcome to the show. More colourful conversations with Mark and Pete. Yeah. This is the show dedicated to religion, politics and business. Each week, clergyman Pete and businessman Mark debate an important topic. Well, this week we debate making the most of life. Well, when we look at our lives, all over the world we can see that there's some people who really go to town. In fact, they not just go to town, they go throughout the whole world and make the most of every moment of their daily lives. And yet some perhaps dwell too much on the past and perhaps maybe take the wrong path. With me today is Clergyman Pete. So, Clergyman Pete, what have you done with your life?
Well, it's interesting because it's so subjective to look back on your life. You look at it from the inside, and I think I've had a pretty damn good life so far. I mean, there's that old saying. There's the old saying where someone asks one of the workers down on the shipyards whether he's been working on the shipyards all his life. To which he replies, "Not yet."
Yes. Well, it's interesting how people tend to view life. It comes in different forms. We're going to talk about a number of them. Let's take, say, for example, in recent times, we take the life of, say, Fidel Castro. Some people will look upon him as a great hero. Some people will see him as a great tyrant.
Yes.
Did he make the most of his life? Was his life worthwhile in the sense that was his cause worthwhile, or did it just cause much angst? Of course, we've also got others where we've seen in recent times where perhaps people exploit the weaknesses of other people's lives. And we've seen recently, and we'll debate this in a minute, the Football Association are making investigations into those allegations of sexual abuse to those who perhaps were a little bit more vulnerable. So essentially, their lives are now perhaps tarnished. So I'm going to ask you, Clergyman Pete, let's start with the life of Fidel Castro. When we look back, what do you think that he did with his life?
Well, I'm going to say I think there's a few different ways of looking at it. He's a big figure, lived a big and life in that he had a big effect on others. Now, what you can see then is in terms of his impact, he made the most of his life. I mean, he made a huge impact on the country of Cuba, but also was influential worldwide, not least because he would, help to fund, much as the US did, help to fund insurgents in countries, you know, interfere in conflicts in other countries when someone was, you know, communist, was the sort of person who he thought he should befriend, he would help them. So he had an influence in that way. And from his own personal point of view, he must have felt that he'd been extremely successful. What he aimed for, he got. Yeah. It must have seemed from his point of view that he'd lived life very effectively and to the full. He'd made a big impact. He's successful. And from some points of view, people can say, well, he had had influence, and he was a strong leader, and so in that way kept the country's defense working. You know, they weren't taken over by other countries, and that's the main purpose of government, I would say. So in that way, he was successful. In every other way, I would say he was terrible, in that so many people suffered under his hands, under his rule. He was a vicious freedom fighter / terrorist, depending how you look at it. In his earlier life, he was an unforgiving tyrant during his rule, and as such, you could say that he was personally responsible for quite a lot of suffering. But also, his way of ruling, that sort of communist way of ruling in which the party takes power and tries to plan the economy, just simply doesn't work. It hasn't worked anywhere. In this case, It's absolutely trashed the economy of Cuba. Most of the country lives in absolute poverty unnecessarily. And so I think on balance, he lived life to the full, but a disastrous life for many, many people around him. And his ultimate legacy is one of suffering and poverty for many in his country. And around the world with interfering in other
conflicts. And in fact, if we think from the late 50s going into the 60s, particularly with the Cuban crisis, you could argue that he put many people's lives at risk. Yep. In fact, the whole world, particularly as the Russians and the Americans started to sort of waver the little fingers over the buttons of the nuclear weapons. But there is something else which is quite interesting about Fidel Castro, because I'm going to ask you a question in a minute, which relates to his life. First of all, as you're probably aware, that the US have seen him as a bit of a divisive figure, to say the least. In fact, the CIA have investigated him, in fact, in many cases, try to perhaps remove him, effectively assassinate Fidel Castro. And I'd just like to ask you, how many times do you think the known plots have been on his life? Have a guess.
Now, you see, I read somewhere that he had survived quite a few assassination attempts. So I'm going to say 8.
Right. Well, Is it more than eight? It's just slightly more. I'll tell you, it's 637 plots against his life. Mm-hmm. And what's quite interesting that when we talk about, you know, making the most of life, clearly the US thought that he'd done enough. And there were such scandals, such as trying to infiltrate into his regime with things like exploding seashells, exploding cigars, even for that matter, to eradicate his regime.
Yes.
But the Cuban leader himself did have a little bit of a whimsical tone to his style. In fact, he even remarked, if surviving assassination attempts were an Olympic event, I would win the gold medal, as he would say. Now, he knew automatically there that people didn't value his life whatsoever. So he did have a cause, but clearly perhaps he must have realized that he was putting people through absolute misery. And I guess in that case that not only, as you were saying, perhaps he enjoyed his life, but he took the decision to make others a total misery. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess this is where we sort of think about it in different ways in terms of how people judge life.
Yeah.
I'm going to also refer to a different case here, and this comes to the UK, because what's happened in recent times is that the Football Association, soccer as the Americans would say, has basically started an investigation of allegations of sexual abuse in football. Now, this isn't a recent thing. This actually goes back quite some time, in fact, a few decades, but it appears, as they're starting to uncover their story, that there is a series of allegations where football coaches, and in particular one particular individual from Crewe Alexander, a former youth football scout, Barry Bennell, was convicted of sexual offences. But this was against children. But ironically, his accusation, or the now accusations, are that it's also against former youth team footballers who since went on and had a career in football, but have only just started to come out on this subject. Now, this is quite a scandal because for those people, particularly as they're starting to reveal, their lives now have been ruined, in their own words. Yeah. What sort of advice do you give to people like that who are victims and where others have just devalued their own lives? And what do you say to people like that?
People who are victims.
What can you say? What sort of salvation do they have? Against something where somebody has taken the decision not to value them whatsoever.
I believe is a critical part of what I see as the value of Christian faith, in that there are some issues where you can't just speak in generalities about good ways to approach it. When you've been a victim of abuse or severe undervaluing of your life, as you were putting it, the way to freedom from that is to be released, to be made clean and whole from the nastiness, the filth that's been perpetrated against you. And the truth is, of course, that you haven't done it. You're not to blame. And yet you can feel ashamed because of it. It's just a feeling, but it's still very real to you. The way to be set free from it is to trust in Jesus Christ. And the way that the reason that that is the only way is because he is the only one, being, you know, in very nature God, he's the only one who can get down to a spiritual level. It's at a spiritual level you've been damaged. You need to be healed at a spiritual level. Jesus famously said that the truth will set you free. You will get to the truth that you've done nothing wrong, but your spirit needs to believe that. And I've come across many of these cases. I'm speaking from experience of people being set free because Jesus set them free. And of course, they were never at fault, but they needed to be set free from this hold put on them from outside. It's not just your own sin that you're set free from, that you're forgiven for, that you're cleansed of, and you come to believe in Jesus. It's other people's sins against you. And without being too pious about this, I just think that's the only way. The only way is to trust in Jesus and get him to clean you and cleanse you from within.
Well, that's a very good point. I'm going to come to a poem in the end, a very simple one. I know we've been quite reflective here, but I wonder, we're talking about the value of life, but a story that recently broke in the UK, again, sadly, was actually about new life, effectively babies who were recently born. But unfortunately, in a recent story, and this is basically at an NHS hospital in the north of Manchester, where premature babies were left to die alone in a sluice room. Now, this is quite extraordinary, where we talk about the value of life. Mm. And when you're starting your life, presumably where most people might be born in a hospital, I think, or a larger proportion of people do, as opposed to at home or anywhere else for that matter.
Yeah, sure.
And yet, when an authority such as the NHS, that's the National Health Service for our international listeners, actually abandons life in that way, what a catastrophic way that is to start life. I mean, how on earth could that possibly happen when you've effectively compromised your own professional standards, let alone the start of an individual's life?
Yes, it's important to recognize when we talk about choosing to live life to the full, there are restrictions. There are always restrictions on freedom put on you from the outside. But of course, you can be free mentally, even if physically you are not free. However, there's a limit even to that. You know, if you're being treated very badly physically, in the end, it's going to affect you and can, of course, destroy you. And the only way to get through this, the only way we can think a way through this, how is it possible in that situation to say that it's possible to live life to the full? And the answer is, of course, that the truth is there is such a thing as eternal life, the eternal soul, your spirit does live on after this physical life. And we know this because history tells us Jesus rose from the dead, showing that there is life after death. And again, I say that, you know, it's only by looking at the words of Jesus as well as following his example that you get to see how even in these worst situations there is hope. I mean, Jesus says of himself, the reason why he came, he says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I came that they may have life and life to the full, or sometimes it's translated abundant life. So that's his intention for this life and the life to come. Sometimes, sadly, only in the life to come. But, you know, it's the intention is for you to have fullness of life. So we should strive for that, to live a full life. But a full life doesn't include persecuting others, doing others down, or being being careless with us, as you were talking about the NHS being, and not valuing other people's lives. Valuing others' lives is the way to have to be set free in your life, truly, to lead a good life. When Jesus says in John chapter 8, he says, if you you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, famous verse, John chapter 8, verse 32. The verse before it says, if you hold to my teaching, or another translation would say, if you obey my commandments. You know, you need to live right in order to live a good life. It's not only about you know, doing what you want. It's about doing what's good.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Well, we've covered a lot, and I'm going to give my view on this. We've been quite reflective in the way that we've been talking about valuing life. So we normally do this each week, and I've sort of left it to the end. This is a simple poem, which is called Brief. There's no point dwelling on the past when time itself is truly cast. So forge ahead and have a blast, because life is short and you won't last.
So. Well, there you are. Let's put it all in perspective.
So make the most of it. Don't think about the past. Let's have a good time. Yeah. Make the most of it now. Yeah. So, listeners, let us know what you think. Are you making the most of your lives? I think we're trying to make the most of ours. Mm. Drop us a line on markandpete.com and let us know your thoughts. So join us again for more colourful conversations next time with Mark and Pete. Hiya.